Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Bear, Minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. And the Urban Churches today is August the 20th, of the 2023, or it's the 5th day of Elul, 2027. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, It Is Well With My Soul. With peace like a river, and if my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, forever my life has taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should burst with no trials, it come. Let this blessed assurance control the fierce every day in my helpless estate. Yes, it is all good for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. I sing, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. I sing, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I die it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And yon yesterday, and the face of inside, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Yashama shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. The name of our sermon today is called The Fate of Assyria and the Triumph of the Purified Church, the House of the David, Everlasting Kingdom of the Heaven here on earth, fulfilling Daniel 2:44-45. We're on Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 23 by the V.T. Hartis, and we're going now begin with page 2. It says, let us turn to Zephaniah 3 and begin with the first verse. Zephaniah 3, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city, for the antecedent of the pronoun her is found in the 13th verse of the, for the antecedent of the pronoun her is found in the 13th verse of the preceding chapter, and it is seen that the city represented in our day, the spiritual Israel today, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, here pointed out as the antitypical Nineveh. So the Seventh-day Adventist Church is antitypical Nineveh. As the capital city of the ancient Assyria, now, to ascertain whether this Nineveh is actually the capital city of the ancient Assyrian or of some other Assyria, we shall study the remaining verses of this chapter that Matthew did. She obeyed not the voice and received not the correction. She trusted not in the Yahshua. She drew not near unto her Yahweh. Well, this verse points out the fact that the city and the nation here mentioned had the privilege of hearing the voice of the inspiration of the knowing Yahweh's truth, but has failed to take heed, received not the correction, trusted not in the Yahshua the Son, drew not near unto her father, Yahweh, that Matthew 3. Her princes, within her are the roaring lions. Let's say it again. For her princesses within her are all like the roaring lion. Time to read the volume 1, page 23, page 3. No, number 23, page 23. It says, for her judges are covering a wolf. Are the evening. Her judges are the evening wolf. They know not their bones till the morning. Her princes, being like the roaring lion, must be frightful persons who evidently think might makes right. Might makes right, okay. Her judges are, as it were, the evening wolves. That is, they are in the business not to execute judgment, justice, and righteousness, but to search and tear to fill their dens with the prey, although they may have more than they know what to do with. They gnaw not the bones till their morrow. 7 out of 3, 4. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. This is talking about the general conference, president, and her Jesuit ministers. And this is what the prophecy is talking about. These prophets are light and treacherous. They are because they're like a bunch of evening wolves, because they're Jesuit priests. They're not Adventists. Her priests have polluted this sanctuary. Her priests, those Jesuit Catholic priests, has polluted the holy sanctuary service of the house of Israel by infiltrating her ranks, beguiling her, and causing the spiritual Israel SDA to renounce your own purified doctrine of the three messages, angels' messages, and to turn to a false doctrine of the three and one person of the Godhead called the Trinity. They have done violence unto the law. For the Seventh-day Adventist Church have done violence unto the law. Now go look it up, the word law, three letters. You go find it in the encyclopedia. It means, it talks about law singular. It means all the laws of the Yahweh that man is required to obey. That's all the feast days mentioned there in the New Testament and Old Testament. It says, for they have done violence unto the law. And what is Psalms 119, 142? How does it read? Righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. In the language of the day, the verse of this, her teachers are high, are light-hearted, and serious and sober-minded. They are shocking. They are of no account. They are treacherous persons. Her ministers, rather than having kept the clean church, have polluted it and have done violence unto the law of the sanctuary. I go back again. I've done violence unto the whole law of the sanctuary, starting with the Ten Commandments and ending with the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Solomon Center in the seventh month. Thus far, it seems that the Assyria of this chapter represents the people who have been well instructed in the things of Yahweh, the law and the sanctuary, but instead of obeying the Yahshua and ruling justice and righteousness, they have greatly transgressed, have gone down into the sin as deep as any people can possibly go. Zephaniah 3:5. For the just Yahshua is in the midst thereof, he will not do iniquity. Every morning that he bring his judgment to the light, he faileth not, but the unjust knoweth to the shame. What I just read to Yahshua, the Son, is in the midst thereof. He's the midst of earth, in the 12th parabolic God, in the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Revelation, Revelation that has to do with the spiritual Israel today, the Seventh Day Adventist Church. He will not do iniquity every morning that he bring his judgment to the light, for he faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. So those that are not covered by his blood, those that won't do the daily at the proper time, those that don't believe in the ordained system of true worship being restored to the creation talent, they are a bunch of false voices out there. They're lost even as they speak. They're lost right now. And they would have it that way. So it says that he faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. In the view of the fact that Yahweh the Father is in the Yahshua the Son is in the midst of them, they must be well informed in the things of the Yahshua, well aware that in the due season he makes known unto them his judgment. In the view of all these, the only possible conclusion one can come to is to declare that Yahweh's spiritual house of Israel must be in their midst. Zephaniah 3:6-8. I have cut off the nations, for their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive their instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and interrupted all their doing. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith Yahshua, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble their kingdom, and pour upon them my indignation, even all my furious anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For the Yahshua himself warned that he has cut off the nation, that he has made their towers desolate and their streets waste, that he has destroyed their cities and has left no inhabitants in them. For he points out that all this he did as an object lesson for their future good, so that they as a nation might fear him and receive instruction, that their dwellings not be cut off. But in spite of these examples, they rise early and corrupt all their doing, so it is that at long last Yahshua arises to the prey, gathers the nation, assembles the kingdom, and Assyria gets her punishment. From this we see that the Assyria, with the destruction exists in the time of the end, and the time that the great and dreadful day of Yahshua takes place. So this Assyria, therefore, is an antitype of the ancient Assyria, just as the Babylon of the Revelation 17 and 18 is an antitype of the ancient Babylon. For the Assyria charges inspiration as a rejoicing city that dwells carelessly, that says in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me, Zephaniah 3:16. Well, today that was translated into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's run by the General Conference, those Jesuit leaders of the Adventist Church today, that do not teach or follow the 2300 days prophecy of the judges of the Antipodal Atonement, of the five angels' messages of Revelation 14. Okay. At this point, let us pause a moment and summarize the characteristics by which this modern Assyria is to be identified. Number one, as a man loves a thing, she is so great that there is none like her. She is well instructed in the things of the Yahweh. Number two, she is oppressive, a hard ruling nation. Number three, she has polluted the sanctuary and has declared that the law of the Yahweh is void. Number four, she has piled up wealth by the going after it as an evening wolf goes after his prey. Number five, she harbors the church of the Yahweh. ever since she exists in the time that the Yeshua is to manifest his power and destroy all the wicked nations. Number 7, she is an Assyria-like nation, widespread, a nation of the conquest. There is the one people under the sun that answers to all these descriptions. That people is the English-speaking people, and the whose midst is the church, and from whose midst the gospel and the Bible flow out unto all nations. As clear as a language can make it, the burden of the prophet Zephaniah is for the English-speaking Christian world. For Yahweh is now saying unto the Assyria's capital city, indeed you are doing all of these abominations, that you will not just continue long, for the time is at hand. Put a stop to your absurdities. Zephaniah 3:9. For then will I turn unto the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Yahshua, the Son, to serve him with the one consent. For the inspiration, for certainty, declares that after the Assyria receives her punishment, and after the wicked are taken out of his church, then will the gospel be proclaimed in a pure language, in the pure gospel truth, that whosoever will may call upon the name of the Yahshua to serve him with the heart and soul. Then it is that only those who have withstood temptation in the strength of the Mighty One will have a right to proclaim it. For the proclaiming of the third angel, says he, when it shall be swelled into the loud cry. Okay, let's read that again now. Then it is said that only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will have a right for the proclaiming of the third angel's message, when it shall have swelled into the loud cry. As you and Herald, November the 19th, 1908, Zephaniah 3:10-11. From beyond the rivers of the Ethiopia am I supplying, even the daughter of my spirit shall bring mine offering, and that day shall thou not be ashamed for all thy doing. When thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. For the gospel is proclaimed in a pure language, then even from the ends of the earth Yahweh's people will come with an offering unto the Yahweh. Having removed all who rejoice in her pride, the church shall be haughty no more. Zephaniah 3:12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Yahshua. For the fact that he leaves in the midst poor and afflicted people is sufficient evidence in itself that the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church takes place before the millennium, before the Isaiah 33:24 is fulfilled, and before he sets up the kingdom mentioned therein. Zephaniah 3:13. for the remnant of the Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, but they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. For the remnant goes that are led after the purification, face to face shall sin no more. For they shall forever thereafter stand without the gall in their mouth. Jeremiah 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart. Let's do that again, Jeremiah 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of the Jerusalem. For great day is coming for the righteous, a dreadful one for the wicked. We therefore, as children of the Zion, are encouraged to sing and shout for the joy, because we have finally come to the time of Yahweh's great deliverance. Zephaniah 3:15. For Yahweh hath taken away the judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy, for the king of the Israel, even the Yahshua is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. Surely, these revelations of the prophecy should encourage every believer to shout with the joy as he realized that the day in which he shall no more see evil is right at hand, that Yahshua is to be his only king. Zephaniah 3:16-20. In that day it shall be said unto Jerusalem, wilt thou not, and unto Zion, that not thy hands be slack? For the Yahshua thy king is in the midst of thee, and is mighty, for he will save. He will rejoice over thee with the joy. He will rest in his love, for he will joy over thee with the singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, and to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will do undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. But at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I give you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, said the Yahshua. For Yahshua wants us to know that when he turns away our captivity, he will also make us a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. For this kingdom of the Judah, the church purified and set apart, is therefore not only premillennial, but also probationary. And how glad we are to be for the privilege to be among the first fruits. This brings the end of Town of Greens, Volume 1, Number 23. We're going to now turn to go to 2 Time of Greens, Number 31. The subject matter entitled The Restoration and the Time. This is a text of letters for the VT Hall of March 13, 1948. That says, do your work, leave the results unto Yahweh. I shall read from the Yasirith Object Lesson, page 64, beginning with the last paragraph. For the work of the sower is the work of the faith. For the mystery of the germination and growth of the seed, he cannot understand, but he has confidence in the agency by which Yahweh causes vegetation to flourish. And he casts his seed into the ground, he is apparently throwing away the precious grain that not for his bread for his family, but he is only giving up a present good for a larger return. For he casts the seed away, expecting to get it many fold in an abundant harvest. So the Yasir's servants are to labor, expecting a harvest from the seed they sow. In our life work, we know not which shall prosper, this or that. This is not a question for us to settle. We are to do our work and leave the result with the Yahweh. Let us pray for the faith and then go cheerfully into the vineyard. And now the seed, and sow the seed that the Yahweh, that the Yashir has so graciously provided. Remember his promise that his work shall not return unto him, boy, but that it shall prosper in the thing where to he sends it. But we must remember too that faith is the first rung of the ladder for the salvation, and that without faith we cannot please the Yahweh. County Greetings, Volume 2, Number 31. We're on page 2 now. Okay, that's the end of the prayer talk. Let's go now to our regular study entitled The Restoration and the Time. Our text is found in the third chapter of the Acts, Acts 3, 19 to 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh, or come from the presence of the Yahshua, because Yahshua is here in person, and he shall send, no, refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh. Let's do that whole thing all over again. Acts 3, 19 to 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh, and he shall send his son Yahshua, that before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, that the Yahweh the Father has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Here we are told that the heavens must receive the Yahshua, not forever, but until the times of the restitution of all things. He is therefore at the time of the restitution to return unto the earth. And we're in the time of the restitution now, in the 12th periodic hour. Shall the returning be unexpected, or shall the Yahshua, or the Yahweh, send someone to prepare his way? Let's do that again. Shall this returning be unexpected, or shall the Yahweh first send someone for the preparing of his way? And if someone is to precede his coming, who will it be? And he answered and told them, Elijah, really cometh first, and restoreth all things. Mark 9:12. For the Yahweh moreover is through the prophet Malachi declared. Malachi 3:1. Malachi 4:5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. This is Yahshua talking here. Let's do that again. Let's read the whole last paragraph again. Shall this returning be unexpected? Or shall the Yahshua first send someone to prepare his way? And if someone is to precede his coming, who will it be? And he answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And Mark 9:12. For the Yahshua moreover through the prophet Malachi declared. Malachi 3:1 and chapter 4:5. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yahshua whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, which is Antipater Elijah, that's already come, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Yahshua of the host. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. Here the scriptures point out as someone in the spirit and power of the Elijah, the prophet is first to appear, and he will not only prepare the way, but will also restore all things. Plainly, the message of the Elijah shall restore all things in the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the day of the restitution, the day that the Yahshua comes unto his temple, this purified church of the David. The spirit of the Elijah was a spirit against idolatry, and his power was a power for the destroying all those who led in the idolatry and to bring about purity. Malachi 3:2-3. For who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levite, and purge him as a gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in the righteousness. At this coming, he is not to take his saints back into the mansions above. Verily, he is to purify the sons of the priesthood of the tribe of Levi. That's the ministry. For he is to destroy the leaders of the idolatry. Since the purity of his service is first to be restored, the restoration therefore commences in the church. That is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thus is the Edenic state of the peace and security to be restored, for we are told that Isaiah 11:6-9, for the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the chaff and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, for the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking a child, it says, shall play on the hole of the ass, and the winged child shall put his hand on the carcass. Then they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Here in the 12th third by the tower, this last probationary hour of her session, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahshua, as the waters cover the sea. So it was in Eden, and so it must be again. If all things are to be restored, and if these prophecies are to be fulfilled, Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of the Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and this shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Okay. It says, in that day, that is, in the day that this peace and security is restored, then not after, is the kingdom of the Judah and Israel to be restored. Ezekiel 37:16-28. And made to stand for an ensign, and this shall the Gentiles see. For this restoration of the Judah and Israel, therefore, takes place in the probationary time in the last parabolic hour of the 12th hour. John 11:9, Yahshua said unto disciples, are there not 12 hours in the day? Work while you have the light. Well, we are working in the last parabolic hour, for the Gentiles shall seek the ensign. Plainly then, the Gentiles shall still be standing when the Edenic peace and security are restored unto the Yahweh's people during the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. Therefore shall the Zion for your sake be plowed as a field. Okay, so now here we are. We're going to go over and redo Zion. We're going to plow her like a field. We're going to and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Yahshua, which is the house of David, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow under it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up unto the mountain, that's the house of David, of the Yahshua, and unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of the Zion, and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. And that's Micah 3:12, Micah 4:1-2. For sure it is that after the dispersion of the Jews, and after the destruction of the old Jerusalem, in the antitypical apostolic era in the last days, then it is that the restoration of all things takes place, and the fact that many people shall then join the Yahshua, the restoration therefore takes place in the probationary time and the great and dreadful day. For the ensign shall then stand, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek. Okay. That ensign now is where it is in the house of David. The tabernacle of David is fallen down. Yahshua is sitting upon the throne in that tabernacle. For the day is to be great for the righteous and dreadful for the sinners. It says Zechariah 14:4-5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of the Olives, which is before the Jerusalem on the east, and the moon and the others shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and you shall see unto the valley of the mountains, where the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, yea, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of the Judah, and the Yashur, thy king, shall come, and all these things with thee. In that day, in what day? In the day that all nations gather against Jerusalem, that now is, and bring its fall from the Gentile rule. In that day the Yeshua's feet shall stand upon the Mount of the Olives, the Mount of the Olives, for the Mount of the Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Zechariah 14:4. For the Yahshua's host millennial coming to shall be similar unto this. See early writings, page 51 and 52. For the servants of Yahweh shall then flee unto the valley of the mountains, where the Yahshua's feet shall stand, and all the saints with them, that is the Yahshua's feet, will open the way for the restoration of the kingdom and for the gathering of the people into it. So Yahshua is back here in person. He is looked upon as the ensign. He's got his earthly servant here, his earthly prince, antitypical David, that is visible unto all in the kingdom, that is carrying out his charge for everything that Yahshua wants done. This visible servant, antitypical David, is restoring and carrying it out. All right, Isaiah 11:11-14, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, that shall be left from the Assyria and from the Egypt and from the Petros and from the Kush and from the Elam and from the Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall sit up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of the Judah from the four corners of the earth. For the envy also of the Ephraim shall depart, and the adversary of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, for they shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon the Edom and Moab, and the children of the Ammon shall obey them. Here we see that there is to be peace in the valley of the mountains. That would be the only place on earth then where peace is at. Peace between the beast and beast, and also between the man and man, for the lion shall not hurt the lamb, and Judah, the house of tribe of Judah, the house of David, shall not vex Ephraim, that's the 10 tribes, and Ephraim shall not envy Judah. For the Judah and Ephraim are nevertheless to be in conflict with the countries surrounding the land. For they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistine and lay a hand upon Edom and Moab, the Ammonites, those that shall obey them. Isaiah 11:15. And the Yahshua shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make them go over dry shod. Yes, Yahshua will open the way for the gathering of his people, for the exodus of today, therefore, shall be as the exodus of yesterday, only on a greater scale. For Yahweh's people in these last days shall be gathered from every land, not from the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he camped out of the land of Egypt. Thus shall the kingdom of the Judah and Israel be restored, and be given peace and plenty. Micah 4:4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Yahshua of the host has spoken it. And now this is Yahweh's light, and this is his truth. Isaiah 2:5. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Yahshua, for the message of Elijah that restores all things is indeed an addition unto the third angel's message, and it shall certainly swell into a loud cry. It shall gather Yahweh's people from the four corners of the earth, and bring them out of the Babylon, as the earth is lightened with the glory of the angel. Revelation 18:1-4. See early writers, page 277. As the Noah's Ark preserves every living thing that was to inhabit the earth after the flood, in the manner the restored kingdom of the Judah and Israel is together and preserved from the plague every living thing that is to inhabit the new earth. For the kingdom restored is to be the ark in our day, and her people shall live and reign 1,000 years with the Yahshua. Revelation 20:4. And finally, return when the earth is made new. Isaiah 65:17-25. For behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into the mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I will create the Yerushalayim as a rejoicing, and her people as a joy. For the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Yahshua. Obviously, those who seek to enter into this ark of the safety shall be, or shall live and reign with the Yahshua during the 1,000 years, and those who spurn it shall be breathless in the bottomless pit until the post-millennial resurrection, only to rise in the shame and everlasting contempt, subject for the suffering of the second death. How important then that we be not napping, but that we arise and put on the wedding garment. And now, lest we find ourselves weeping and gnashing our teeth, even worse than did the Antediluvians outside the ark when the rains came, and the lightning and thunder blasted through the sky as the fountains of the deep broke up. We have now seen that the restoration of all things begins with the gathering of the people unto Judah. That's the lawgiver, tribe of Judah, the house of David, and the everlasting kingdom here on earth, Daniel 2:44-45, and that the kingdom, that's the kingdom of heaven, that has come down at Yashur with David has set up is then is complete when the earth is made new. Let us therefore do what we can to help build the ark now and to enter into it with as many souls as possible for the inspiration. Only revelation of this truth shows that we are approaching the day of the restitution of all things, that this is a message of the hour. Okay, we have solemn thought. Oh, solemn thought. Intent it be. The hour of judgment now that is come. We soon must fix our destiny and seal the sinner's fearful doom. Yes, it is so. The judgment hour is swiftly hastening unto his close. Then will the judge in the mighty power descend in vengeance on his foes. He who came down onto the earth to die, an offering for the sins of men, and then ascended up on high, and will ere long return again, is standing now before the ark and mercy seat and cherubim to plead his blood for sins and make the last remembrance of their sin. Okay, for the solemn moment is at hand when we who have his name confessed, each in his lot must singly stand and pass the final searching test. For the Yashua we hope in thee alone, in mercy now upon us, Lord. Confess our name before the throne, and blot our sins from out thy book. O blessed Savior, may we feel the full importance of this hour. Inspire our hearts with holy zeal, and aid us by thy Spirit's power, that we may in thy strength be strong and brave the conflict valiantly, then O Mount Zion, join the song and swell the notes of victory. R.F. Cottrell. Okay, that's the end of Tommy's reading, volume 2, number 31. This brings in our study to shower contact us at the 11th hour corner, number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. The Love of Yah.
The love of Yah is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pen felt on the chair, Yah gave his son to win. This erring child, he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of Yah, rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall for her the more endure the saints angels sound. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms shall fall, and men who hear refuse to pray, all the rocks in here and mountains come. Yes, love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the Cincinnati angels sung. Of love of yore, of its sanctuary, hammers left and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the Cincinnati angels sung. Could we within the ocean fair, and were the skies that parchment made, where every star on earth it quit, and every man a star not changed, to let the light of love within the ocean bright, after the scroll contained the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of yore, it's enjoyed, and as your love it shall forevermore endure, the Cincinnati.